This is File 47. This is Jean McMillan interviewing Richard Chilcote at my home, 41 Chatfield Drive. The date is May 12th, 2013. May I have your name?
Richard Payne Chilcote.
And how do you spell the Payne?
P-A-Y-N-E.
Is that a family name?
It is a family name, yes.
Okay, where were you born?
I was born in Sharon, Connecticut in 1960.
Month and day?
June 27th.
What were your parents' full names?
William Henry Chilcote, and my mother's maiden name was Catherine Whitney Payne.
And that would be where the Payne comes from.
There it is.
All right. Do you have siblings?
I do. I have a younger sister who's 2 years younger, Susan Chilcote Bucherry. Mm-hmm. And I have an older sister who's 4 years older, Donna Olinger Alexander. She's recently been remarried.
Which Alexander?
Rick.
Oh, good. And what is your educational background?
Salisbury Central School, on to Salisbury School, and then on to Hobart College in Geneva, New York.
Oh, dear. I went to CUCA.
Oh, did you really? I didn't know.
We didn't. Well, we dated Hobart guys, but... Now, what did your father do?
My father was a dairy farmer for the majority of his life.
Where did he farm?
He learned to farm in the Baltimore, Maryland area. Grew up in a little town called Sparks, Maryland, and ended up through 4-H getting a scholarship to the University of Maryland.
Oh!
The first person in his family, which was... 9 kids.
Uh-huh.
The only one ever to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And graduated with a degree. And I think at that time it probably was, would it have been like an
animal husbandry? Yes,
degree.
Yes, yes.
But anyway, I did graduate with a degree and went on to work in various capacities in the dairy cattle business.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And what about your mother?
My mother grew up in Mount Vernon, New York. Very different upbringing. She grew up in an apartment building in an urban environment. And father was an advertising executive in New York City for a company called Young & Rubicam. So they had very different upbringings, but met... eventually, right here in Lakeville, right down the street at Deep Lake Farm.
Really?
Where she became the farm secretary, and he was the farm manager.
Did she ever work at the town hall?
I don't have any recollection of her ever working at the town hall. I mean, my recollection is really just Salisbury Central.
Okay, that's fine.
You know, she went to secretary school.
Catherine Gibbs?
No, it wasn't Catherine Gibbs. She went to Smith College and became a secretary in a couple different capacities prior to ending up here at Deep Lake Farm. Her mother and father had a weekend farm in Millerton. That they used to come to on the weekends, and he was kind of a gentleman farmer. So she did have, to some extent, a farming background as well, just a little different capacity.
I see. Okay, because she had mentioned the Millerton farm, and I had no idea that I thought she was local.
Yeah.
And she isn't.
No, it was called Silver Lake Farm in Millerton, and it's still there.
My word. Yeah. All right. Tell me a little bit about growing up in town.
Well, you know, I had a slightly different experience growing up in town, and I think because my father was a farmer and had an agricultural background, and that was not typical.
No, it wasn't.
Maybe a little more typical than it is today, given the fact that most of the dairy farms in the area are gone. But so that was somewhat unique. We had a lot of animals on Montgomery Street where we lived, horses, cows from time to time. And I was very involved, as was my sister, in 4-H, showing dairy cattle, all that kind of thing. And no one else that I grew up with was involved in anything remotely like that. So it was very unique.
The property on Montgomery Street is right at the corner of Wells Hill and 41, right?
It is, on the left there, right before the Catholic Church. And a subsequent owner put up a big white fence in front of it. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And there was enough property?
There actually is, yeah. Oh, okay. There actually is. There's a barn with a stable and a little paddock out in back. So it's not huge, but there was definitely enough
property.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful. Did you spend much time at the Grove?
Yeah, the Grove was, you know, as far as the summer goes, the Grove was really the...
That's where you were.
That was the center point of the community in many respects. You know, lots of us were on the swim team, so we were down there early every morning doing that, and then, you know, going home for lunch and then coming back and spending pretty much the entire day in the summer there. And to some extent in the winter as well. You know, hockey on Factory Pond was a really important thing that we did in the winters as well. We had a little house, a little cottage on Lakeville Lake for a few years as well. So, got to actually live on the lake a little bit during the summer.
Who was in charge of the Grove when you were there? I'm sure Fred Romeo was working there.
Fred was working there.
Would it have been either Jim Rutledge or John Pogue?
I think it was John.
Okay, that in sequence makes sense.
Yeah, you know, the person that I identify most with the Grove was Art Wilkinson.
Why?
Because he was just an ever-present person there, and he ran the swim team, and so he's, for whatever reason, I think I was also involved in scouting.
Yeah.
And scouting took place in the hall at the Grove, and Art was involved in scouting, so he was an ever-present person there. There was another woman who used to teach us sailing. We all had little sailboats. And
do you remember who she was?
It'll come to me.
That's all right.
She lived alone right across the corner of the lake next to the Grossmans. And I can't think of her name
right now. It'll come.
Yeah.
It'll come. Tell me about the Methodist Church, Sunday school, choir, any of that?
Yeah, I was very, you know, my father was a lay leader in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so from a very young age, I would go there with him every day, and we would have Sunday school. And you know, in those days, it was the Pollock family.
Oh, yes.
Who were real central figures in the town, and I went to school with the Pollock girls, and I think even probably, you know, as I reached middle school and later, you know, the one particular Pollock girl may have been the reason that I kept going to church and Sunday school, but
it
took to get me there, my father was happy.
Yeah. Jerry died recently. He died in December.
He did. I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
but
Emma's
still
around. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I walked into the service, and Heidi immediately recognized me. Oh, Miss Porter, you came! I was so pleased.
Yeah. Oh,
because I haven't seen her since she was in my grade.
Really?
And it was like, wow! Did you sing in the choir?
I did. I sang in the choir. The other job I had in church that was very important to me was I got to be an usher.
Oh!
And I think prior to that, prior to having that responsibility, my job was to, I don't think it had a title, I would call it candle snuffer.
An acolyte.
At the end of the service. And then I got to be the usher, and I would, as my father invariably did, linger on in the church after the service. Mm-hmm. I got to pick up all the programs.
Yeah.
Put them away. But being an usher was particularly important. In those days, it was a fairly substantial congregation.
Oh, yes.
Now, I know that's not necessarily the case anymore, but...
It fluctuates.
Yeah.
It fluctuates. But, yes, it was a very substantial congregation. I think everybody liked Jerry Pollock. I kept waiting for the fire alarm to go off in the middle of one of his sermons, but it never happened.
Right. Well, and not only that, but we were always surprised that he was able to stay as long as he did, because I know that they rotate.
They did rotate about every 3 years.
Yeah.
But apparently he had a lot of influence. He wanted to stay until his children finished high school.
Yep.
So they would have a consistent background.
Yep.
And it worked. It worked. Did you do any of the summer work experience programs, or did you work during the summer at anything particular here in town?
I'm trying to think what summer jobs I would have had. In high school, my summer jobs, well, starting earlier than that, probably starting in sixth grade or somewhere around there, I worked for Peter Wood, who was the owner of the, I don't know what it was called, the Lakeville Oil Company.
Oh, yes.
On Farnham Lane. And Peter lived in Sharon, but kind of took me under his wing at a fairly early age, and I would mow his lawn. He had a little farm mm-hmm. in Sharon, mm-hmm. and I would take care of the lawn, a few animals that he had, clean the barn, that kind of thing. So, and then in the winters, on school vacations, he would put me in the oil trucks with the guys delivering oil.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I would haul the hose. I think it was more to give them a little break than anything else, but
it was good experience.
It was fun. It was fun. So
I'd
come
lovely.
Home covered in oil, and
your mother must have loved
tired
that.
Tired from dragging hoses through the snow, but that was fun. Later on, I worked at Salisbury Central in the summers as a custodian.
I didn't know that.
I did. Yeah, so I got to scrape gum from desks all the time. And mow the lawn. I got to drive the big tractor and mow the ball field. So I think that's part of the reason why Salisbury Central has been so important to my family. I mean, it's just, we've all worked there.
Oh, sure. Like. Well, in the summertime, I'm doing your sister Susan.
Oh, you are?
As a pupil and working there.
Yep.
So that I get the entire spectrum.
And of course, we have a niece, you know, her daughter works there now.
Oh, yes. So, yes. So it's a family tradition.
Quite a lineage.
But it's wonderful to have that continuity.
It is.
It really is so important. When I first went to Salisbury Central, there was only one secretary, Evelyn Bellini.
Yep.
And it's grown. It's grown.
Yep.
Because things have grown. They've gotten more complicated.
Oh, absolutely.
Any other local jobs before you went off to bigger and better things?
I had a job in town after college.
Oh.
I came back, as many people do, after college and worked for a construction company that was in Salisbury at the time, and their name was Salmon Creek Builders.
Oh, yes.
Right? So they, and their actual office and yard was where my mom lives now, right next to the House of Herbs there.
Okay.
There was a barn,
mm-hmm.
and that's where all the equipment was stored. And so the first summer I worked, they built the I think it's called the Iron National Bank on the way to Salisbury on the left.
That was converted from the Salisbury Farm / Milk Bar.
Exactly. That was the first construction job I ever had, which was, and of course, you know, that's the business that I'm in, so
yes.
It's kind of significant, and my friend Jeffrey Lloyd worked there, got me a job, which was terrific, given that I had absolutely no experience with.
Yeah, I was going to say, you didn't have any experience in that.
But I think Jeff convinced him. Jeff was, by that time, a pretty good carpenter. He was, had been in the business for a little while, and I think he convinced them that, I don't know what, maybe I'd be a fast learner. Or,
you were trainable.
Wouldn't mind doing the grunt work for a summer, so.
But it's a wonderful experience. My dad didn't have any boys, he had me, so I learned, not construction, but I learned sheetrocking and painting and some electrical and some plumbing. And when I built this house, it made a difference.
Oh, absolutely.
I had wonderful people, but they could talk to me and I understood what
you
they were talking
about.
You
understood the vocabulary?
Yeah. And it did make a tremendous amount of difference, I think, in that there was a mutual respect, which helps.
Oh, absolutely. I hate to say it, particularly when you're a woman, you know. And
I do know.
You're doing it alone. And
I was single, and it was an experience. I'd do it again in a heartbeat if I could have the same contractor. Because he would say to me, all right, I want you to investigate different kinds of heating systems, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. Well, I had to go out and learn about heating systems or hollow core versus single core doors.
Yeah.
And so it was a learning experience.
But he wasn't telling you this is what you want from the get-go. Yeah.
No. And that was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, that's terrific. I had one other little short-term, one very short-lived job that I have to mention. I was the crossing guard at Salisbury Central for a little while. I don't know how I ever... My mother, I'm sure.
Wait.
But you know what? It was kind of a fun job.
Sure.
A little dangerous.
Yeah.
But, and I can remember being there at least one winter, and this is probably right after college as well, because I can remember the kids throwing snowballs at me. But, it's funny, right? I drive my kid to school now, and I actually know the crossing guard in the town that I live in.
I should think so.
I think, you know, that kind of looks like a great little retirement gig, and maybe someday I'll come full circle back to...
Mr. Livesey did it as a retirement gig.
Yes.
And he was there for years.
Oh, my goodness.
And all the kids knew him.
Oh, yeah. Because I was a walker. So I got to know him well.
Yeah. Yeah, that was back when the kids walked to school.
Yes.
Hey. People that you remember in town? Anybody particularly?
Something has come to mind recently, and I probably am just thinking about this a little bit more. There was a very special time in my life, and I'm guessing it was probably ages 11, 12, 13, right around there, where I got very involved in the local adult baseball league.
Oh, good.
The Lakeville Hose Company team, which used to play down in Town Field.
Yep.
And I was, of course, a little league baseball player, and I loved the game and all, but my father would go to all the games.
Mm-hmm.
And he would take me to all the games, and I can remember Mr. Barry would sit on the bench every game with a pocket full of nickels, and every foul ball that got hit back into the woods, we would all scamper for, and whoever got the ball got a nickel. And so eventually, I got the
job.
This
would be Ron Barry.
Ron Barry, right, because Mark was playing at that time.
Okay.
So Ron was always there watching. And, of course, lived right in the backyard.
Oh, sure,
practically.
Sure.
So eventually, somehow, I got up the nerve to ask Frank MacArthur Sr., who was the manager at the time, if I could be the bat boy, because I didn't have a bat boy. So I did that, I'm guessing, for probably 3 summers at that age. But that was such a terrific experience. I can remember... the team, of course, had the Lakeville Hose Company uniforms, and at one point during the first season, I asked Frank if there was an extra uniform that I could wear, because I'd see Bat Boys on television and stuff, and they had the real deal,
so of
course I wanted to have the real deal as well. So there was a little shed on the property there where they kept all the bats and balls and all. So Frank brought me over to the shed, and there were these boxes in the back, and he's digging through, and he found this old box of wool uniforms.
Oh my.
You know. And their uniforms weren't much better, but I think they were cotton at least.
Yeah.
So he found the smallest one, which he you could, which was, of course, huge for me. So I wore this giant wool Lakeville Hose Company uniform.
Proudly.
So proudly. Yeah, yeah. For the next two seasons. And you know, it's funny. I can probably name every single player on that team during those years. I can still picture them all. And, you know, everybody else in town.
Would you name them?
Well, I think there was... I think the catcher was Butch Sherwood. And at first base was Frank MacArthur Jr.
Yeah.
And then at second base was... I'm not sure I know second base.
Okay.
Well, anyway, there was Mark Berry. There was David MacArthur.
Yeah, I did him on baseball.
Oh, you did?
Yes. And I'm going to get... Steve Griggs is going to give me an interview on Frank MacArthur Sr.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. And then there was another MacArthur, Daisy.
Yep, oh sure.
Who was a terrific athlete, played in the outfield. Jeff Marchand from Hotchkiss.
Yep.
Pat Dineen was also on the team.
Yeah.
There's somebody I'm missing.
Well, you got seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
I'm only missing two.
But that's excellent.
Well, you know, and in thinking about it recently, it obviously made a huge impact on me at the time that I can still conjure up the names of these people I haven't.
Yes.
But I do think about Frank Sr. from time, because he was such a kind man, and, you know, allowed me that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since I was hanging around there all the time anyway. So, you know, that kind of became my... And I got to travel around to all the games in Armenia and Canaan and Sharon. And so I think it was a really special time, in part because I was spending the time with my father. You know,
sure.
Of course, he had to drive me to all these games, and he wanted to see the games.
Sure.
But those are some people that I think about from time to time. And I was telling my mother yesterday, I said, boy, I'd love to see an exhibit get done on Lakeville Hose Company baseball, and she said that it's not a new idea. Others have considered it recently, but I guess the question is there enough information out there to actually put an exhibit together, whether through photographs or Lakeville Journal articles?
I think there probably would be.
Yeah.
I was quite pleased to do David MacArthur Jr., and he did an excellent one, and then, as I say, Steve Griggs, and there's been several others that have talked about the Sunday afternoon baseball games because it was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was a really big deal.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
Something that you'd like to add that I haven't asked you about?
I don't think so. We've
covered the area,
haven't
we?
Yeah, no.
You've done extremely well as an impromptu, and I really appreciate it, Richard.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Happy to do it. You usually do a little prep for this, you said?